Today's reading is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses 1 to 16, and verses 169 to 176. Psalm chapter 119, verses 1 to 16. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now verses 169 to 176. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. This is the word of the Lord.
We finished our series in 1 Peter last week, where we're thinking about a wonderful eternal home that the Christian has in Jesus Christ. We're thinking about riches and eternal blessing, forgiveness of sins, a new identity. Today we are scattered. We are aliens who don't belong. But we have a true and a lasting identity in Jesus Christ. And this morning we're thinking a bit about what it means to live that life in the here and now. We're thinking, we're taking some time out to think about God's word. Listen to some of the words that Psalm 119 uses to describe it. It is righteous, wonderful, good, something that it is to be longed for. It is life and comfort and joy, better than 1,000 pieces of gold or silver. It is my hope. It is something to be loved. It is a delight. That comes up again and again in this psalm. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I delight in your statutes. Verse 16, verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. Verse 35, I delight in your commandments. Verses 44, 47, 70, 77, 92, 111, your testimonies are the joy of my heart. Verse 174, your law is my delight. I wonder if that is how you feel about the Bible this morning. I wonder if that is how you felt about God's word as you walked in here. It's definitely not always the first word that comes to my mind, and I imagine it's not yours. So we're going to do what the psalmist asks. We're going to do what the psalmist says, and we're going to ask God for help. Let's pray as we begin. Father, we ask this morning that our cry would come before you, that you would give us understanding according to your word. Lord, we ask that you'd open our eyes, that we might see wondrous things out of your Lord, out of your word. We pray this in the name of the precious Lord Jesus. Amen. What we have here, Psalm 119, is in some ways the Bible's great sort of outline of what his word is. It is the testimony of a believer who has discovered that apart from a God who speaks, there is no life. It's a poem all about seeking God through his word. It's a time, he's going through a time of trouble. In fact, it claims to have the answer to life. Not just scraping through life, but the best life, the sort of life that you and I long for, when you want to be the best version of yourself, what do you do? Well, you find it in God's word. It's the blessed life. That word comes up twice in the first two verses. This is what is called, it's a poem, and it's called an acrostic poem. It's an alphabet poem. So ancient Hebrew had 22 letters. Psalm 119 has 22 sections, one for each letter of the alphabet. Each section, in every line of each section, begins with the same letter. We don't have that in English, but in the Hebrew it did. Our Bibles, though, have highlighted that for us with those little headings. So it says Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, and so on. Beth isn't the name of a girl. It is a letter. It's quite literally the A to Z of God's word. And all of that was to help you memorize it. Don't worry, we're not doing that this morning, and we're not looking at the whole psalm today. Just those bits that Darren read for us. The A's, the B's, and the Z's, if you want. Aleph, Bet, and Taf. And the point is that from A to Z, if you want to learn how to follow the Lord, if you want to have that same sort of joy and delight, if you want to learn how to live, we need to go to God's word. The first section, verses 1 to 8, is the basics. Think of your ABCs. Think of what the foundational stuff you learn in Grundschule or primary school. Those bits that you get in place before you move on to high school. And according to these verses, the fundamental thing you need to know is that God's word sets the course of your life. It begins with a striking claim, doesn't it? Verse 1 to 3, the blessed life is a life that is walked according to God's word. We're at that time of year when advertisers try and grip your affections. They try and grab your attention, try to capture your imagination. You need this thing that they are selling for a full, happy, blessed life. It'll make your life better. So there are snowy mountains and crisp, fresh air. You might be hiking up it, you might be skiing down it. There are gentle waves on a sunny beach. There are friends laughing and smiling. Everyone's having a wonderful time. And what is the answer? It's this new toilet brush that someone is selling. Look down at verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Not blessed because of new stuff. Not blessed because life is easy. but blessed because they walk in God's ways, in the way that God has revealed. They hear God's word and they act on it. God's word is, if you like, the map that we follow, the compass that always points to true north. Why? Well, whose word is it? Verse 1, it is God's law. Verse 2, it is his testimonies. Verse 3, they are his ways. God's word sets the course of your life. This psalm has between eight and 11 different words for God's word. It's there in each verse of the psalm. A different word in each one, because we are dealing with poetry. The word law literally means instruction. Sometimes it is the Ten Commandments. Sometimes it means the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Book of Moses. Sometimes it stands for the whole of God's revelation, everything that he says. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep God's word, who keep God's revealed will. His promise, that speaks of Jesus Christ. The word made flesh. Today you and I could include the New Testament as part of that. Blessing comes as God's word guides our life. Life is described as a journey. I don't know where you're traveling to over the next few weeks, or if you have people traveling to you. We mercifully aren't going anywhere. I don't like traveling at Christmas. Good for you if you do. I'm very happy that we have some family coming to us this year. But life is described as a journey. Look at verse 1 or verse 3. It is a walk. And the question is, which path are you going down? Where is your life headed? The Lord calls us to walk in his ways, just as Jesus did. The word of God sets the course of your life. Do you notice how God's word is linked with himself? Look down at verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. God is intimately tied to his words. So God acts as he speaks. That's what happened right back in the beginning. All the way back in Genesis 1, all the way back at the beginning of the world, God speaks and God acts. His word is effective. He says, let there be light, and the lights turn on. Or we've seen in Matthew on a Sunday evening recently, Jesus speaks and evil spirits bow down before him. Jesus speaks and a storm is stilled. God's character is seen in his words, his power, his majesty. God speaks whilst idols are dumb. They can't say anything, they can't do anything, they cannot save. God speaks, God saves. For you and me to trust God's word, to trust what we read in the Bible, is to trust God himself. To say, I trust the words that Jesus speaks in the Bible and I trust Jesus, they're the same thing, aren't they? So imagine after the service, you're chatting with someone and they say something that you strongly dislike or offends you. Now, I don't know that England are a better cricket team than Australia or whatever it might be. I wouldn't be so sad if that happened. Hopefully you won't be offended by anything today. But imagine it does happen. You'd be offended not by the words that they say, or not just by what they say. You'd be offended by the person who spoke them, wouldn't you? Later, if they came to you to apologize, It wouldn't be the words themselves that you would need to forgive, but the person who spoke them. Or take it the other way around. Last weekend, Gabby and I forgot, or we weren't quite ready for Advent to start, shall we say. So we'd got our Christmas tree, but we hadn't finished our children's Advent calendar. So we promised them that on Monday morning, when the shops opened again, we'd go and buy chocolates for them. And our kids perhaps naively believed our promise. we forgot to buy chocolates on Monday, but never mind. But when they trusted us, they didn't just trust our words to do it, they trusted me and Gabby to do it. When we encounter the words that God speaks, we encounter God at work. We encounter a God who makes promises and a God who always keeps his promises. We encounter God himself, and so we encounter true life, true blessing. The word of God sets the course of life. Sometimes people get a bit confused by what we're saying and think this is bibliolatry, this is worshipping a book. Because they don't understand that when we open the Bible, we're not just reading words. We are listening to God. We don't worship the Bible, we worship the Lord who speaks in and through the Bible. The Lord who speaks by his Spirit to me and to ye, who opens our hearts and our minds, who makes us bow down and wonder and worship and love for who he is and what he has done. Actually, if we don't do that, we find we have a major problem, don't we? Because if the God that we love isn't the God who speaks in the Bible, if the God that we love isn't the one who has revealed himself, then we worship a God that we have made in our own image. One who cannot hear, who cannot speak, who cannot save. God's word sets the course of life. So you get an objective truth, verses 1 to 3. This is all about the blessed life. You want a blessed life, seek him. Verses 4 to 8 are all about our response. And there's a longing, isn't there? Look down at verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Actually, the rest of the psalm is a prayer. A prayer of longing, a prayer to God, a deep, heartfelt cry. He really wants this. This life that you have spoken about, this life that you promise, the psalmist really wants. That's the number one thing on his wish list. Help me keep it. Help me learn it. Help me do it. Help me fix my eyes on what you say. So verse 7, I'll praise you. I wonder how you feel about the Bible as you hear all of this. Maybe you're starting to drift off. It's been an early start. You haven't had enough coffee this morning. You know, when the stakes are raised, our attention levels increase, don't they? So your football team is 2-1 down. There's 10 minutes left. It's the quarterfinal of the cup, whatever it is. And as the final whistle approaches, you would get closer and closer to the edge of your seat. You're willing your team on. Or imagine your exam is tomorrow. And you've had weeks and weeks of revising. But perhaps you're a bit like me and you've not been very focused until today. When every minute, every second really counts. As you read through the psalm, you see the stakes are really high for this psalmist. He is slandered. He is persecuted. He is forced to testify in front of rulers. He is afflicted. There's a night, a time of night, and it's a very dark night in the psalm. And this psalmist really knows that he needs to live. He really wants to live. He longs to stay near to God. because without him he will die. So where does he turn? Verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Through this really long, dark night of suffering, he knows that the thing that will keep him is knowing God. Verse 6, he knows that because of God's faithfulness, those who trust in him will never be put to shame. The world might forsake him, but verse 8, he doesn't want God to forsake him. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you will know some of what that longing is like. A longing to be vindicated, maybe. A longing to be filled and satisfied. A longing to see Jesus face to face. A longing to know him and to know his ways better and deeper. He longs for his life and the direction of his life to be set by the word of God, because it is God speaking to him. Is that what you think when you wake up bleary-eyed in the morning and you open up your Bible, or you flick to the app on your phone or whatever it is, and you think, why am I doing this? Well, you're doing it because you're hearing the voice of the mighty, majestic Lord of heaven and earth. When you don't want to do it, when you don't want to read it, do it anyway, because it is God speaking to you. It should make us tremble, shouldn't it? With wonder and anticipation as we gather together on a Sunday morning. I wonder what you think we're doing here right now. We gather to hear the risen Lord, the one who rules and reigns, who lives in a high and lofty place, but also with the lowly and contrite in heart. And we gather to hear him speak. As you think about that person that you love, that family member or that friend or that colleague, and you think, how on earth are they going to become a Christian? Well, we have a God who speaks. And so we bring them to hear his voice. We bring them to what God says in the Bible. The Bible sets the course of life. God's word guides. Secondly, God's words guard. God's word guards. It guards the purity of life. Verse 9 starts with a question, doesn't it? How can a young man keep his way pure? Young man means, in this instance, just anyone who needs to be taught. You and me, who need to learn God's ways. How can we keep our way pure? I guess there are lots of answers that we might give to that question. I wonder what you would come to first. Maybe rules. Don't drink, or go to bed on time. Don't put yourself in that sort of situation. Don't watch violent movies, those sorts of things. You know, there is some wisdom in those rules. Maybe good, honest accountability is what is needed. You know, I think it's great. I think we need that, and we don't talk about that enough. You and I need each other to be holding each other to account. Having deep conversations about, where are you doubting that what God says is right and good and true? It's painful at times. It's really helpful. Yeah, have you got someone who will ask you those difficult questions? The ones that you really don't want them to ask? The ones that you don't want to answer? How would you answer verse 9? You know, the answer isn't more willpower. It's not a stricter religion. It's not whatever you might put there. How does Psalm 119 answer it? How can you keep your way pure? By guarding it according to your word. It's achieved by guarding your life with God's word, bringing every desire, every choice, every thought to be shaped by it, guided by it, learning to trust it. There's an exchange, and it's not about rules, it's a battle for your affections, for what you love, what you will choose to love. Do you see what the psalmist chooses? Verse 10, with my whole heart I seek ye. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart. You know, it's not sprinkling God's word onto his life like a bit of salt and pepper on your bolognese, whatever it is. Adding a bit more when he fancies it. No, he stores it in his heart. That word means to treasure. He's greedy for it. He can't get enough of it. It comes through reading, it comes through hearing, it comes through meditating on it, thinking on it, repeating it, muttering it over and over in your mind. It's not emptying your mind, this is focusing your mind on what God says. Even when he wants, even when he doesn't want to, even when he feels dry. That's what this psalm was, wasn't it? It was designed actually to be memorized, to be stored in your heart. Notice how deliberate it is. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Not merely glanced at on a Sunday, but buried deep, deep in his heart. Internalized, memorized, treasured. You can't fight temptation with an empty arsenal, with no weapons left. But the believer who has filled his heart with Scripture is armed and ready for what will come. Verses 9 to 12, God's word comes to him, and then verses 13 to 16, it is spoken out by him. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you treasure in your heart is what you will speak out. He has treasured up God's word in his heart, and he declares it to others, but to himself. He teaches his heart to love what God says. Verse 103, he says, it's sweeter than honey on the lips. It's sweeter than Lebkuchen at Christmas time. It is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. Verse 114, it's a shield. Corrie ten Boom said it's her hiding place. 123, his eyes long for it. Verse 131, he pants for it. Verse 136, he weeps over it. It starts with an exchange and then it overflows into a transformed life. Because it is God's word, it becomes his treasure. Because it is his treasure, it becomes his delight. We've been thinking about treasure, haven't we, on a Sunday morning? In Jesus as a Christian, we have an eternal life, we have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, which is kept in heaven for you, who through God's power are being guarded through faith. God's word is all about the treasure of the blessed life with him. God's word is all about the treasure of Jesus Christ, born at Christmas time, turning his enemies into friends. Jesus, who laid down his life for his enemies, for sinners, for people like you and like me, people who've done wrong. It is all about buying us forgiveness, washing us clean, giving us a new future in a world that is remade without sin, in a world where you see him face to face, when endless praise and joy and thanksgiving floods our souls. That is what you and I wait for as Christians. Do you know that treasure? If you're not a Christian, We're going to hear a bit more later on about Hope Explored, a course, a few weeks hearing about why the gospel, why Jesus Christ is such a wonderful hope. If you want to find out more, come to that. God has spoken, his word is clear, his word is sufficient, his word is authoritative, his word is what you and I need. And so it shapes everything. It shapes his character, his desires, his choices, his habits. How can you and I keep our way pure? Well, we don't need a new revelation. We don't need a mystical experience. We don't need a cultural innovation. We don't need greater discipline. We need God to transform us as what he says, as his word, is stored up in our hearts. We need his spirit to make it alive and make it live to us. And it flows into joy. Did you notice that? Verse 14, I delight in it as much as in all riches. Verse 16, I will delight. It's something that he chooses to do. That word is the sort of word that describes a child playing with the toy of his dreams at Christmas. Holiness flows not from grim determination, but from God's word stored up in our hearts. It is beauty, it is treasure, it is joy. God's word guides, God's word guards, finally God's word saves. It preserves or restores the wandering life. Flick forward to the end of the psalm, page 620 in the Black Bibles. Verse 169. The psalm ends with a deep realism. Because God knows what you and I like. God knows that you and I find this really hard. We hear these words written down or said from the front and we think, yeah, but that's not me. Or that sounds like hard work. It ends with deep realism. The plea that began the psalm, that, oh, that my ways may be steadfast. It carries on to the end. A dependent cry for God to save. Look down at the very last verse, 176. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. The picture is a sheep in danger. Lost, the word is literally perishing, dying. Not necessarily because it has wandered off sinfully, maybe. But lost because it is lonely, it is surrounded by many dangers, it doubts, it's pursued by persecutors and predators. And so what does a lost sheep do? What do you and I do when we are finding this so very, very hard? He cries for help. To the great shepherd of the sheep. Seek me, watch over me, protect me, guard me, save me. Yeah, we're so prone to wander, aren't we? To go astray. He cries out for understanding. Not just general understanding, but understanding according to your word, according to what you have said. I think it probably goes without saying, doesn't it? That in order for us to have understanding according to his word, we need to get to know it better. He knows that without God speaking, he is blind. He knows without God saving, he is lost. And he wants to live. He turns to God, asks him to preserve his life. He does that because you and I doubt God's promises all the time, don't we? There is only one person who prayed this psalm and truly lived it. Only one person who really stored up God's word in his heart. Only one person who could truly say, I have kept your word and I am blameless. The Lord Jesus. The one who knew that really long, dark night, the one who sweat drops of blood in the garden before he was betrayed, the one who truly stored up God's word in his heart, who found it to be his delight, found it to be his song in the night, found it to be something that caused him to praise, or the one who kept God's law perfectly, who lived the life we can never live. Jesus prayed this prayer, and it is wonderful. Christopher Ashe, a Bible commentator, says it is moving to consider Jesus in his prayer life on earth, praying with such passion that he'd be the truly blessed man. And we rightly shrink in horror at the thought, the very idea that he might have failed. But he didn't, did he? We rejoice that he kept this, because in doing so, fickle and changeable you and me, with double-minded hearts, sheep who often go astray, we can know the salvation promised by God is ours in Jesus. Because it notes not just with that note of it ends not just with that note of dependence and that cry for help, but also with praise, doesn't it? Praise because God does save. Verse 171, my lips will pour forth praise. Verse 172, my tongue will sing of your word. Verse 175, let my soul live and praise you. See, the word that saves is the word that leads to worship. The Christian life, our life, as we seek to follow Jesus, as we wander astray like lost sheep, it is not self-sustained. It is God-sustained. He is the one who seeks his people through his word. God guides us. God's word guards our life. God's word saves your life. When you drift spiritually, or when your heart does feel cold or distant or dry, when your prayer fades, or when obedience weakens, keep turning back to what God says. Take up his word, read it, store it, delight in it, live by it. For in his word, God gives himself. And in him is life. And we're going to turn and pray as we close. Lord God, we long for your salvation, and your law is our delight. Let our souls live and praise you, and let your rules help us. We have gone astray like lost sheep. Seek your servants. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.